Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. Welcome in. I hope you guys are all doing good. Again, I'm here in the studio by myself, but I am not alone on this this call as I'm joined by my co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. Boucher, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm still, practicing the, we're leading by example here, Adam. We're practicing the physical distancing.
That is correct.
And it doesn't matter what, you watch any sort of talk shows or podcasts and, they're doing the same thing. So, if we want to be the best, we got to be like the best.
That is 100% true. And you still haven't lost your professional transitioning. So, in saying being one of the best, why don't we talk to one of the best that has ever put a Wildcats jersey on? We'll have our chat about the Masked Singer and all that good stuff at the end of the show, but very, very happy to be joined by a player who was drafted by the Wildcats, the fifth round, 86th overall. He played all 259 games of his Q career in a Wildcat uniform, 137 goals, 145 assists for 282 points. And if you listen to one of our last shows during the season, the only Wildcat to have back-to-back 40-goal campaigns, and now the newest member of the Toronto Marlies, the Summer Science Sniper, Jeremy McKenna. Jeremy, how are you doing? How's the family doing?
I'm doing well. I'm back home now, obviously, in Summerside, so just enjoying some time with family and just trying to follow protocol and practice social distancing and just enjoying time here.
So the sisters haven't quite got on your nerves just yet?
They have a little bit, but they're good. We get along good. We're still competitive and stuff, but it's been good so far.
I read that. So I guess, just obviously before we get to the major news, I just kind of want to talk about last summer. You were at the Dallas camp and then it just seemed like all of a sudden then you were at the Flames camp, which, was a dream for you being born out there. To the sadness of us Wildcat fans, it looked like you were on your way to Stockton for the year. And then about a month in, there were ramblings about you returning, and then you made your return. So I guess what went into making that choice between, going to the ECHL or returning to Moncton and having another great season and trying to put a few banners up?
Right. So after the NHL draft, I ended up going to Dallas's camp. So right after the draft, I flew there and had a really good camp there and, was still unsigned. So I kind of wanted to have another opportunity. And when the Flames called, I kind of jumped on that. So I headed there for a week and, impressed some people and kind of had a meeting with the whole Flames staff after the camp. And they were interested in signing me to a deal. So we ended up getting something done. And then had a great time in Calgary. I spent 3 weeks there training in the summer and training with all their top guys. And after that, I had a good Flames training camp. And, they signed some tryout guys with Ronaldo, Tobias Ryder, and that kind of sent Dylan Dubé, Alan Quine, guys like that down to the AHL team to start. So I ended up getting sent down to the East Coast League, Kansas City, which was a good spot. But after I talked to my family and talked to, Richie Devo and John Torchetti, it was kind of a good opportunity for me to go back and kind of round out my game and continue to work and be on a really good team and, be that go-to guy who can help a team build towards a championship.
So they kind of, the fans saw the writing on the wall that this could be the season with, yourself and Mika and maybe Aspro coming back. And then we acquired Rodrigue at the draft. And fans could kind of see that maybe this was going to be the year. So they kind of laid out the plan on what could be coming if you had come back.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was more a good opportunity to be on a good team and, play with those good players and give myself another, 6 months to keep working on my game to become a pro. So I kind of took it as that, as just, an extension period to play on one of the best teams in Canada. So it was a good decision. I think it'll work out in the end either way.
For sure. You know, when you talk about Moncton, I mean, you and Mika's careers have kind of mirrored each other, both drafted by the organization, both played every game in the organization. Just talk about what it meant to play in Moncton for your four-year Q career, being so close to your family, because not a lot of guys get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's great. You know, being in the league now, you see there's not even a lot of guys who stay in one place for their whole career, so it's something special. I grew up in PEI, so I enjoyed watching the Islanders games, and you reflect back on some of the teammates from my early years, Lane Cormier, guys like Cam Askew, Kevin and Kelly Klima, right on through till this year, and just it's special, and you know, I'll always reflect back on my time in Moncton and kind of smile at how great it was and how great the people are.
Hey, Jeremy, so, you know, before your whole Moncton career got started, you know, I want to flash back to the 2015 Q draft. As Adam said off the top, you know, you were, you know, fifth round pick, 86th overall, you know, pretty safe to say, you know, you were a steal at that point. Let's have a little fun here for the first question. Let's just say, you know, you were a first round pick at that particular draft. What song would you have chosen for your walk up to the stage?
That's a good question. I would say let's go with Kid Rock Cowboy would be my walk up song for the draft.
I like it. I know. I remember last time we talked, you said you were kind of into the gangster rap, so I thought maybe you'd go there. But
I thought like he might go Nickelback.
I like the Kid Rock.
Yeah,
like
so do
Kid
I Rock. Actually.
Yeah, just like again another thing about with like we said earlier, you know, your contract with the Marlies. When did they first speak with you, and you know, who was it that they reached out?
Yeah, it's been you know, my first meeting with them was last year, I think, and so it was their GM of the Marlies. He reached out to me, Lawrence Gilman. So we kind of had a talk 2 weeks ago, and you know, they said they really liked my game and they were interested. And you know, the way things are in the world today, you don't really know what could be next. So I think it's a really good opportunity for me. If you take a look at how they've been able to develop, and even just looking at overage players who they signed to deals similar to me, I think it's a good fit. It's an organization that has the best development in the NHL. So it's exciting for me, and I think it's a good fit, and I'm looking forward to spending the next 2 years there.
What goes into like deciding where to sign, you know, a pro contract? Do you sit down with your agent and, you know, your family, you know, look over a team's depth chart and just decide, you know, which organization is the best fit?
Yeah, that's a good question. The most important thing is the fit. You know, being a natural right winger, you need to look at the depth they have there, even right up to guys in the NHL. So that's the first thing you have to do. And, you know, you talk it over with your parents and your family, and, you know, you want to pick the spot that you can develop the best into an NHL player. And that's kind of how the Marlies came up. And I just think it's a great opportunity. And I think their track record speaks for themselves.
I guess what being a team in Canada, does that factor in, or are you just like, if the fit's an organization down the, you know, in the US part of the NHL, then you're okay with that? Or was being in Canada kind of something you wanted to keep going with?
Off the top of my head, I would say no, but it's definitely a bonus being in Canada, especially in Toronto. It's the hockey hotbed of the world. So I think that's cool. And, you know, to think eventually I'm going to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs is something that's exciting, and it's something that motivates me. And just the fact of how great their organization is helps a lot as well.
Yeah, I haven't always been a Leafs fan, but I can probably cheer for you in a Leafs sweater, I guess. I was going to have to do the same thing last year with the Flames, even though Boucher was very excited for you to have the opportunity to be a member of the Flames. Did they continue contact with you after, like, during the season last year?
Yeah, they were in contact with me throughout the season, and I know most of the staff members there, so got to talk to them as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, right now it didn't work out, but I've got nothing but good things to say about the Flames. And I know that, especially in professional hockey and even junior hockey, that the hockey's a business. So you kind of have to have it that way and think of it that way. So I definitely have no hard feelings.
I guess the one, you know, one of my last few questions is kind of a two-parter. What was that like last year at camp, going through it with Pelche? I mean, you guys obviously had the chemistry the year before, and then being able to go through that journey in Calgary together. And then, you know, what's next in terms of, you know, your training, and are they giving you things to do for training? Have they laid out a plan on when you could potentially be going there for camps, or is it all just a waiting game with the Marlies?
Yeah, so kind of just touch on your first question. Being at the NHL training camp with Pelts was special. We got to spend a lot of time together, either out for dinner or practicing together and stuff. It was just nice to have someone that you're really familiar with there. I'm considering myself one of his biggest fans, so whenever he got into a couple of preseason games, I was always watching him and cheering him on. So it was special being there with him, and he'll be a lifelong friend, and he'll be a great player for Calgary. And as for training, they haven't really given me specifics right now. I'm lucky here at my house to have a garage gym, so I've been working out there and keeping in shape and just starting the long off season off right and getting ready for my first pro season.
Last one for me, Jeremy, here. It's not necessarily about you, but you can kind of chime in here. The Wildcats have a prospect that you may or may not know. You know, you yourself are the nickname Summers, the Summerside Sniper. He's also from Summerside, Connor Keogh. How much do you know Connor, and have you two spoken about the Wildcats organization?
Yeah, I know Connor and his family really well, being from Summerside, and I know his dad actually really well. They both come to the Granville Street Diner a lot, so I've got lots of love for them. But I think he's a great player. He's been out at Notre Dame like me. He's been working on his game. He's a hardworking kid. He's got he can shoot the puck. He's got a great shot, and he can score. I think he could definitely challenge and could make the Wildcats next year. So I would definitely be a guy I would watch for. He's a good player, and he's a hard worker. So I think he'll be definitely challenging for a spot next year and could step in and play in the league.
Has he reached out to you, you know, to have you guys talked about the organization or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. He reached out to me when he got drafted and stuff. He lives right up the road too, so I see him around lots and practice with him lots. And he's a good kid, and I think he'll do good things in that organization.
I guess I'd be remiss.
That's it for me, Adam.
All right. You know, we'd be remiss. Jeremy has a stick tap of the week, and he had J-Bone on one of his stick taps, and you can just see the influence of that guy around the team and around the rink, and especially in the New Brunswick Sports Hall of Fame. And you being his billet brother, just talk about what it meant to be his billet brother and what he just being around him day in and day out.
Yeah, it's looking back, it's been amazing. I think Jonathan's been a special person in my life. You know, I can remember going back 3 years when I was talking about building with them. Pete kind of came up to me and told me a little bit about him, and you know, it's been special. He doesn't care about, you know, winning or losing, even though he's the most passionate fan out there. He just, you know, he's always supportive, and you know, a lot of people don't know is he works 2 to 3 jobs during the year, so he's a hard worker, and he comes to the rink, he's smiling, he loves it, he just enjoys every day, and it's something that that's special, and I try to take into my life. So he's him and the Henry family are special to me, and I think you know, they'll always be a part of my life.
How did he take you being a Leafs prospect? Because I hear he's a pretty big Bruins fan.
Yeah, well, his dad's a Leafs fan, so I think he accepted it okay. But hopefully, I can get him cheering for the Leafs in the future.
the only Leafs memorabilia he has better have McKinnon on the back of it, eh?
Exactly.
So in trying to put this interview together after you signed, I congratulated you and said anytime you want to be in the show, you said you couldn't do it over the weekend because you were watching WrestleMania. Took Boucher and I off guard a little bit that didn't know you were a wrestling fan. So I guess it was a once in a lifetime style WrestleMania. Just what were your overall thoughts on the show?
Yeah, I thought it was different. No, I usually like the packed arenas and the loud crowds, but I liked it. It's something to watch on TV now. And, you know, I thought Gronk winning was a little weird. He's kind of new. So that kind of mixed me up, but I liked it. It passed the time on the weekend. So I enjoyed it.
Have you been a wrestling fan for quite a while?
Yeah, I've been a wrestling fan, since I was a kid. Used to watch Triple H, and I enjoyed it when I was a kid, and I kind of stuck with it. I know a couple of my teammates are big wrestling fans too. Jacob Hudson, Jacob Stewart, guys like that. So
shocking.
We kind of joke around it all the time.
So, you know, it's been said that, you know, throughout the season, a lot of the guys, you know, went over to the Hadleys to watch The Bachelor on Monday night. But were you kind of a stay-at-home guy to watch Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I would stay at home. I'm not a big Bachelor guy. Actually, towards the end of the season, I'd spend most of my nights at the rink playing ping pong with Alex Avanoff and Jacob Hudson. So I was too busy doing that to be watching any Bachelor or any of that foolishness.
That's funny. The one main takeaway I had from WrestleMania is this: you're so used to seeing events and athletes doing what they do in front of, you know, 60, 70,000 people. Did you guys want to play in empty arenas if you could? Like, I know that this was the right thing to do, and you know, it's tough to see, but as I was watching WrestleMania, I was like, I don't know if I'd want to see, you know, special, you know, in the NHL or whatever, athletes doing what they do inside of an empty rink. How did you feel about it, that possibility to play in an empty rink?
Well, looking back on it, I know it was the right decision, but I think we had that game Wednesday night against Cape.
Yep.
And we're going to play Friday at home. So I'm not like LeBron James. I definitely would have played in an empty arena. So it wouldn't have bothered me one bit.
No, at that time, I don't think it would have bothered me either, because it was just the fact it was taken away so quickly. It wouldn't have mattered what you guys did as long as you were able to come back. But, yeah, that's it for me. Look, we just want to thank you for coming on, being a friend of the show 2 years in a row, doing everything you've done for this organization on and off the ice. It's been a treat to watch you for the 2 years that I've gotten to see you. So thanks for doing this, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And lastly, I just want to say to all my teammates and all the coaching staff, Daryl, Salvis, Heptich, Dan, Torch, anyone who's listening, I just want to say thanks. And, of course, the teammates and all the people in Moncton. So I just wanted to fit that in at the end.
Perfect. Thanks, and good luck with the Marlies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Stay safe.
Thank you. See you later.
That was, you know, just a special kid. The Wildcats are going to miss him for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been an honor, and it's really been, you know, an honor to watch him, you know, develop, right? You know, he's been here since, like, him and Mika have been here since, you know, the not so good times and the good times. You know, they've both, you know, developed. Their consistency has gone up every year, and that's all you can ask for in players, right? And those are two guys that are, you know, that we're going to miss, and they're going to be, those are two gigantic holes that we're going to have next season. And there's going to be some more holes that will need to be filled too. So it's, but yeah, thanks to McKenna, of course, for coming on. And, you know, he's at this point, that's two times he's, I think he's labeled officially as a friend of the show.
Yes, he's very much a friend of the show. And that's the worst thing about this, you know, thing being ripped away is, especially here at home. I mean, Mika and Jeremy went through the, the not so good times and didn't get that payoff, and their career is just taken out. And you know, it's the same thing. It's just like Matt Welsh, right? He's the toughest way for your career to end. Like the 18-year-olds, 19s, you know, they can come back, they get another chance, but to have your career taken away like that, I mean, he landed on his feet, and that's one of the good things we'll say. Even though, you know, Flames now Leafs, I guess I'll be happy for him, just not the Leafs in general, right?
Well, you know, I won't admit to being a Leafs fan, but you know, my mom's a Leafs fan, so you know, I kind of watched a lot of their games growing up, and you know, so you know, they've got a spot in my heart, but it's not the, you know, not the biggest spot.
No, and as long as he's doing well, that's all you can ask for, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I kind of put something together yesterday, and I asked for, you know, you and Chris's help, because you're, you know, obviously been here a little bit longer than I have. You know, we can talk about what could have been, what, you know, what we were hoping for in that, but there's no point dwelling on, you know, like Richie said in one of his interviews, I mean, there's no point dwelling on what's happened. You got to put your head down, move forward, get back to work. So I kind of, we're going into the 25th year of the Moncton Wildcats. So I put together a list of, I'll just throw 32 names together for a bracket, because that's what everyone's doing to, you know, to give people something to do. Well, I got 42 names. I got about 25 off the top of my head that I knew had played in the organization, like since being here and learning and listening to you guys. And then I'm like, well, I should go down, you know, I started going down the numbers on the Q history, and I'm like, oh, that guy's probably up there. That guy's probably up there. I got it down to 32, and you know, I sent it to you guys, the 42, and you were pretty happy with the list of 42. So what we're doing is the 25th anniversary favorite Wildcats player bracket. There's an Avenir side, there's a Coliseum side, because, well, that just makes sense. It's not so much the best player that's ever played. It's not, you know, the best player they've had that's been in the NHL. It's just your favorite player. It doesn't matter what your reasons are. It's your favorite player. I've gotten it down to 32. You've seen some of the list. Just kind of break down some of the names you've seen on that list.
I've seen them all.
That's what I mean. Break down some of them.
It's a pretty solid list. You know, like I said in that chat yesterday, if it doesn't come down to, you know, Garland against Pelche, we're going to riot. you know, I think a lot of the guys from the past few years will, you know, will make it pretty close. But you know, there's some matchups that are, you know, a goaltender against a forward. So those are going to be tough ones to really, to really judge. But you know, if it's based on favorite player, you know, if I'm putting together that bracket and I fill it out, I easily have, you know, Garland against Pelche in the final two. There's been no players that have, you know, this, how the saying is, you know, you pay for the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge. Well, you know, those are two players who, you know, that literally have left me on the edge of my seat on multiple occasions. Right. So, that's how I see it coming down, in my opinion. You know, we'll see what the fans have to say, you know, this, but I'm expecting it's going to be this poll should get, or brackets going to get some, you know, some good numbers brought in. There should be, you know, a lot of people voting on this, you know, especially if we, you know, have it on multiple social media pages. You know, they've got the Twitter. They got polls on Twitter now. You can vote on Instagram stories and everything like that. So, you know, I'm expecting some big numbers.
Yeah, it's. I think the hardest part, like not knowing the players, was trying to put them in the seeds. So just to give people kind of an idea, Connor Garland is in the Avenir bracket. He's the number one seed. Steve Bernier is the number one seed in the Coliseum bracket. You've got Sear, McKenna, Havanoff, Pelche, Hudson from this year's team. You know, I wanted to try and make it like this year's team in one bracket, and then, you know, the 05 team in one bracket and the 2010 team. That just gets too hard. It was just easier just to pick random names and just kind of put him in different brackets. You talked about goaltending. You got one of the first round matchups. You've got Riopelle versus Barbario, Crawford versus Bourdon. So it should be fun, especially for, you know, some guys have seen the older players more than some of this younger generation, right? So it'll be interesting to see if this younger generation can carry a McKenna, you know, for a few rounds, or carry a Hudson in a 16 upset, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know, there's going to be, obviously, you know, a lot of our listeners are newer fans of the Wildcats, right? Like, yeah. We've got, you know, listeners who have followed this team since day one. We've also got some listeners who, you know, they've only been around for a couple of years, right? So, you know, if it really depends on, you know, who really responds to this bracket. If it's more the, you know, the fans from the past 25 years, I think it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be more of a real bracket. But, you know, those who've only been tuned in for, you know, the past couple seasons, you know, some of the older players might not get the, you know, the results that they should. So, and it'd be nice if everybody came together and put in like an honest opinion, because that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking forward to, is just really seeing, you know, who it really comes down to in the final two.
Yeah, because, you know, I like what Halifax did. They've got their 25 best moments that they've had. This came up from Guy Fleming from the Pipeline Show. He's doing a logo bracket with all 64 or all 60 logos plus a couple league logos, as well as Edmonton's got two. So it's just, it gives the fans something to do. I'm interested in to see where it comes from. And when you talk about older fans and younger fans, I did just a 3-on-3 overtime. Who would you put your money on? And Team Pelche, with Pelche, Havanoff, Spence, and Rodrigue, our leading team, Garland, which was Garland, Barbashev, Gormley, and Deboe. And they're also leading Team Bernier, which was Bernier, Marchand, Yandel, and Crawford. Tessier, Bork, Savard, and Riopelle that haven't got a single vote. And that's could be just, you know, the time frame, and there were better. I'm actually shocked that they haven't got a single vote, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on with the, you know, the teams are doing some great stuff on social media to keep their fans engaged. The one I like the most is from the Mooseheads, is they're, you're on a 2-on-1 with these players, you know, do you score? Yeah. And, you know, the first column is in the last digit of your phone number, and the second column is the first digit of your address. And like that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we should be seeing right now, right? And I think, what did I get? I got Bodnarchuk and Andrew Bodnarchuk and Trey Lewis, you know, two defensemen who, you know, for the Mooseheads, who weren't necessarily known for their offensive game. Like, the only time you'd probably see those two come out on a 2-on-1 if, you know, both of them are in the box, right? And they're coming out at the same time. You know, they spend a lot of their time in the penalty box. So it's, you know, tough for me to say, you know, are those two going to score? But, you know, I'm looking at your comment here. You have David Bryan and Kelly Bent. I don't even remember who David Bryan is.
Perfect. I was trying to find what mine was, and I could not find it to save my life.
Yeah. So, but yeah, some of these ones have been Jonathan Drouin, Ladislav Nagy, you know, Nathan MacKinnon and Raf Lavoie. Like, some of these are, you know, pretty good ones, but
that
then I've got two defense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of stuff I want to see right now. It's great to see that, you know, the teams are still, you know, engaging with their fans, because, you know, it's a tough time right now. And, you know, we should be, you know, well into round two. You know, round two should be kicking off probably this weekend, if I wasn't, you know, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it should have been, yeah.
So it's good to see these teams, you know, still keeping their fans engaged.
And one of those teams that are gaining fans is the Oregon Ducks hockey. Now, you're a big Oregon Ducks fan. I found that out last year in having you on the show.
I am.
And I'd followed them, you know.
My Oregon Ducks hoodie right now.
I, you know, I'd liked them, you know, the Mariota years. You know, they had that high flying offense, and being out west, you kind of watch them. So, you know, but the Oregon Ducks hockey did the custom jersey wallpaper. So I was like, I messaged you. I'm like, you like Oregon, right? Like, I wanted to make sure. And yeah, and I went back and looked at your Calgary Flames wallpaper, and, you know, I got you a Boucher 14 in Oregon Ducks, and then I got them to make us a Wildcast podcast with the year 18 on it. They wanted, you know, it costs extra for Super Custom. So I said we'd give them a shout out on our next episode. So they've got two fans for that hockey club for sure. But I mean, yeah, you've been an Oregon fan for, which is, how did that happen, being out here and being an Oregon fan?
You know, it's more the football side, but you know, it's you know, I followed you know, Marcus Mariota when he was going through. Marcus Mariota was an Oregon Duck, right? So I watched him a lot. But that's really where it started, right? It's you know, just watching him, and then he went on to, you know, be drafted by the, you know, Tennessee Titans, and then, you know, they've got a, you know, another quarterback, Justin Herbert, I think his name is.
Yep.
And you know, he's going to be, and he's a hometown kid too. He's from you know, he's from Eugene, Oregon. So I mean, it's a nice story that, you know, their starting quarterback is literally from the same hometown as the university's in. So he's going to be a nice, a good high pick in the NFL draft. So they've just really they've been able to develop their quarterbacks really well. And honestly, I had no idea they had a hockey team.
A successful one at that.
Until, you know, you showed me that the other day. So, but if you look it up, like, there's, I don't think they play Division One, but you look at a lot of universities down in the state. Some of the universities that you wouldn't know actually have a hockey team, right? Like, it's UNLV, you know, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, they have a hockey team. I think the University of Southern California have a hockey team. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big universities that are more known for their, you know, their basketball and their football. That have hockey teams, and I had no idea. So it was, you know, learning something new every day was fun.
Yeah, and they're quite a, yeah, they don't play D1, ACHA Division II hockey team, five-time Pac-8 champions, 2005, 08, 09, 2019, and 2020. So, you know, big shout-out to them I love those jersey things. I think they're pretty cool. I think I came across it because Twitter shows you things from other people that like it. And Chris Clark, I think his name is, from the Patscast. He's a big Oregon fan, so he was the one that that's how I found it. So big shout out to them for doing stuff like that. And they got two new fans, which they wouldn't have had if they just would have shut it down and quit the social media game. So we've
looking at their roster. They got some guys from some hockey hotbeds here too.
Do they?
Like, they got some. Edmonton, Alberta. They got Calgary. They got Vauxhall, Alberta.
Vauxhall, yeah, yeah. There's about 300 people there.
They got guys here on the roster from Newtown, Connecticut. Minnetonka, Minnesota. They got Tacoma Park, Maryland. Phoenix, Arizona. So, you know, their roster's pretty spread out. You know, it's not just guys from, you know, the colder, you know, the colder provinces, the colder, colder states. There's some, you know, some hot climates there. So, Bakersfield, California, they're all over the map. That's nice to see.
That's pretty cool. So yeah, you can follow them at UO Hockey. You know, made it 40 minutes. Let's get to the other reason why fans want to hear us talk. The Masked Singer, the White Tiger was revealed last week. To no one's surprise, it was Rob Gronkowski. The new
24/7 champion.
Rob Gronkowski. I called that Saturday night as soon as they brought that 24/7 championship on TV. I was like, that, which, speaking of, I got to give you props for your one fan in the building tweet. Well done.
Yeah, like, that was, I don't think I've ever had a tweet with, you know, those kind of numbers. Where was it? What's the 27 retweets and 94 likes.
Yeah.
So I've never had a tweet, you know, that's gone, I don't want to call it viral, but, you know, gotten that much attention. So I didn't think much of it. Literally, it was a toilet tweet. I was sitting on the can and, you know, and it's just, I just took my phone and I was like, oh, look, there's a fan. And I was like, oh, the only fan in attendance. And, you know, so I put it out there, and, you know, by the time I got back to the living room, it was already at like 10 likes. So I was like, holy crap. Like, you know, it's this could go well. And yeah, it did.
Yeah, I literally laughed out hard at that. I thought that was funny because I'd seen it and I'm like, you know, you see it, you just, whatever, it's a fan because it's their training facility. But for you to actually put that out there, I didn't, like, I was following it on Twitter as I was watching it to see what everyone's reaction was. And I didn't see that fan tweet until I saw like three or four more, like 2 hours later after you retweeted it just randomly. Yeah. So we were in, that was group, that was the final nine stage there. So now we're into the Elite Eight, you know, Kangaroo, Turtle, Banana, Frog, Kitty, Astronaut, Night Angel, Rhino. I've come around to Barry Zito being the Rhino. They had the Super Clue last week and it was a Vegas slot machine. He's from Vegas, so I messaged you. I believe the only one that we've really disagreed on is the Astronaut, and I think that's Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
I want to say something about that. I'm extremely rattled right now because on this week's episode, Wednesday night's episode, they're doing a show, some sort of a showdown, and if they're doing this completely wrong, they have the Turtle going up against the Astronaut, and then they have the Kangaroo going up against the Night Angel. I mean, I'm not prepared right now for either the Turtle or the Astronaut to go home.
No,
I'm not prepared for that. Those two are. If my guesses are correct, the Turtle is Jesse McCartney and the Astronaut is Hunter Hayes. Those are really well-known singers. Like, I've been singing Beautiful Soul by Jesse McCartney all weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not prepared for one of those two to leave. I'm not sure how they got to that, but that's just a terrible decision.
I didn't know that that's the style they were doing. Yeah, I've got the Turtle at Joey McIntyre from New Kids. And then I've got the Astronaut, Chris Kirkpatrick. So battle of the boy bands. But I mean, it's funny. I like the show factor of the hidden, and I try to figure it out. But then I get to a point where I'm like, just give me two eliminations so I can figure out the two people that I think this could be. Right. Like I'm kind of rattled that those two are going to go at it, but I'm like, yes, I get to figure out which one of those two are. So who's the Banana taking on this week then?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I've only seen previews of the show. And I've only seen the only preview it showed was at Astronaut against Turtle and the Kangaroo against the Night Angel. So I'm not sure if they're kind of doing, you know, like more than one song or if they're, I don't know how they're really doing it, but I just know it's those two going head against each other and I'm not a fan of it.
If you want to catch up on it on Twitter, go to @MaskedClues and it gives you all the clues from every show. That's kind of what I've been using to, because it's tough to keep, like, you see something and you think it's something and it's really nothing. Like, it's hard to keep track of what all these clues could be. So if you want an easier way to do that, just use the old Twitter sphere and go to Mask Clues. I guess that's it for me, unless you got something on your chest you want to talk about.
Not really. No. Waiting to see how this Q draft goes down.
Ah, yeah, that's I guess that's where we could go. Did you watch some of the O draft?
I did, yeah. I watched up until the third round was over.
Yep. Was it as boring as the first round?
What's that?
Was it just as boring from round one to round three?
It was different, right? It's,
yeah.
These drafts are going to be a lot different this year, and I think the Q is probably going to do a lot. It's probably something a lot similar. Don't know if it's going to be on YouTube, but you know, it's April 6th. The draft is scheduled for June the 6th, so you know we're 2 months away from the draft, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The league still has to make a decision if there's going to be any sort of compensation for teams that, you know, went all in this year.
That's been a bit of a hot topic, eh?
Now that it's talking about that, and
like the only, like I said the last time we talked, the only thing you could do is give them an extra 10th or give them an extra 15th kind of compensation. You can't reverse trades at all.
No, and it's, you can't reverse the trades, but you know,
or I guess you can't limit the compensation either.
No, you can't. you know, it's Neil Hodge interviewed Mr. Irving, and, you know, Mr. Irving has said that it's, you know, it's, he's interested in knowing what they're going to do. Gilles Courteau has said that, you know, he's, Mr. Irving's not the only one to contact him about it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how they figure that out. And, you know, I'm assuming, you know, the teams are going to, you know, I'm assuming Richie's, as long as, you know, things keep, stay the way it is right now, there's not going to be any changes. You know, I can see, you know, Richie sitting in his office and, you know, all the scouts are, you know, on video conference call with them, and mm-hmm. you know, that's how the, that's how they're doing their decisions, and then the GMs will call in the picks. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they figure this out, because you know, it's one of my favorite events of the year, and you know, we're not going to see you know, see it the way it used to be put on. So the OHL, the only thing I didn't like about the OHL is they had zero audio. There was no audio whatsoever. You just saw names flip up on the TV screen, and you know, it was, that was it. That was the draft. There was, you know, the videos of the players that were, you know, had no audio. It was, I'm hoping the Q can do something a little better than that, but, I guess you have to go with what you can, at this point, you know, given where we are right now in life.
Yeah. Are you surprised with, without, a season or a playoffs that's now officially been done, that stuff hasn't been moved up in the queue? Because I know, I'm pretty sure the OHL draft was moved up. The WHL draft is April 22nd, a Tuesday, because why wouldn't you do a draft on a Tuesday? But the, I mean, the WHL has always done, yeah, April 22nd. They've always done a phone-in call. Are you surprised that the queue hasn't, you know, let teams know and let teams and fans know about the trades and then maybe move the draft up to May? Or do you still think they're holding out hope that maybe they can have some sort of draft? Cause I got an idea what you do if you can't have a regular style draft.
Well, the Ontario Hockey League draft is always around this time of the year.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah. Cause what they do is, you know, the players get drafted, and then if the players they're, you know, they're drafted by or in the playoffs, they get, you know, they get to, they get brought into town to, you know, to see the town, to watch a playoff game. That's kind of what the OHL does.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, same thing with the WHL Bantam draft. It's always around, you know, it's always in May. So nothing really has been moved up in the OHL or the WHL.
Is the WHL in May or is it in April?
I'm not sure when the...
Because it's this year, it's April 22nd. I thought they moved it up.
Is it? Okay, well, I'm not too sure about that, but...
Either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's I saw something on Twitter. I don't know if it's true or not, but the WHL is, are going to allow roster players to be traded. They're going to open up a trade period for roster players to be on the move. I don't know if that's true or not, if it was, you know, just some BS. But that would be something that's new, right? That would be moved up, because, you know, at this point, you know, there's no trade periods in the playoffs, right? So that would be kind of a new trading period. I don't know. I really don't know what the Q is going to do. They've been pretty quiet recently. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're kind of focused on the awards right now. And I think after the awards are done, they'll kind of move towards, you know, when's the draft going to be. I still think they're going to have it on June the 6th. That's just a feeling. And it'll all be done online. So it's, you know, but you never know. They might change it. They might not.
In terms of what they, like the thought I had, if it's not the regular way and you got to do it, you've seen the OHL do it, and you're going to see the WHL do it. Try and do something video wise where at least the commissioner answers the picks. And then, I mean, there's only 18 hats. Send the kids the hats, and, you know, via Zoom, you see them, you know, have the commissioner on one side, the kid on the other side, he puts team hat on. I think that would be, you know, the QMJHL set the bar on how the draft should go. So they should as well set the bar on how these new drafts should go. And I don't know the logistics of doing all that and sending out 18 draft caps to these teams. But I think if I wanted to see a draft done online, I think that would be a cool way. And if you don't send them the pictures, at least have the commissioner announce the trades and have some audio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like last year, I know the last year's Q draft lottery was on, I think, April 18th. So, you know, that's coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll see if that's kind of moved up or in the same day. Nothing's really been said about that.
Right.
But it's probably going to be something that's online, because I know the past few years they've had, you know, all five of the GMs in you know, kind of
in the studio,
in a room, and right in the TVA studios, and that can't be done this year. So going to be interesting to see how they handle this. But I expect everything to be done online, the lottery, the draft, and I think my only hope right now is that. You know, the training camps and the regular season all start off when they should be. I can't wait any longer for hockey. You know, at this point, we're still another, 4.5 months away from training camp.
Yeah.
Any longer than that, probably gonna go crazy.
Yeah, this would have been one thing if our team would have been, 17th out of 18, and we were expecting a long wait. But a long wait, and then having to wait even longer. I'm with you. I don't care what you do with the draft and free, or not free agency, but the draft and the free agents and announcing them, and do it all online like you have to. Just let's everyone stay inside so that we can actually get hockey. And if, we're all bored at home. I tried the simulation. That backfired. Whoops. Out in four. My favorite part is everyone like messaging me and stuff, and like, well, Moncton went on my sim. That's great. Put it on Twitch and see if EA helps you out. But there is an account on Instagram, CHL_discussion. Himself, OHL operators, WHL discussion, and Zone_LHJMQ. They did sims of each league. They're gonna have a Memorial Cup going on. Moncton did advance to the Memorial Cup. So Thursday, April 9th. At 8:30 p.m. I don't know what time. I'll try. Oh, all times Eastern. So 9:30. It looks like they're going to be simming the playoff games. So Moncton's first game is April 10th at 9:30 our time. Then we play the host Kelowna April 11th, and then we play Saginaw on April 13th. Oh, I guess our first game is against Everett. So Everett, Saginaw, and Kelowna were the teams that were simmed along with Moncton to go to the Memorial Cup. So. I mean, people are trying to do that kind of stuff. So if you see it, follow it, have some fun with it. I really thought I'd still be simming, to be honest with you. I did not see 4-0. I did not see 4-0 and Julian Hebert and Jaguar just lighting us up. I was like, I had plans to be doing this thing all the way to the end, and then it just went to crap. But, you do what you can when you're bored, and I haven't tried it again. I'm sure if I tried it again, Moncton would walk right over Baie-Comeau in four, but because I tried to do it on Twitch, it didn't work out, right?
Pretty much. That's the way it happens sometimes.
So, yeah, that's it for us. Again, thanks for listening, downloading. As well, thanks to the Summer Science Sniper, Jeremy McKenna, for joining the show. He's welcome back anytime. If he's got some time as a member of the Marlies, he's welcome back to come on and talk about how that's going and going from Summerside to Moncton to Toronto has to be a bit of an adjustment. Maybe he can get tips from Noah Dobson on how to go from Summerside to Bathurst to New York, right? Like two of the smallest cities to two of the biggest markets in both Canada and the United States. Maybe he can get some tips from Noah Dobson on how to adjust to that that kind of life, right?
Yeah, I fully expect to get some free tickets as well. The opportunity ever comes up.
Yeah, it didn't work out for you in Belleville, so maybe this connection will work out in the Coca-Cola Stadium in Toronto, right? So that's it for us. I don't know when we're going to have another show. Maybe in 2 weeks we'll have some chatter about this upcoming season and what prospects we think could make the team. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll have some news by then. We don't know, but good luck to... Jordan Spence, who's up for two nominations. Bo Olivia Grew, who's up for nomination for Q Awards. You'll see them coming down the pipe. So, stay safe, everyone. Stay home. And again, our DMs are always open if you need to chat, if you're not doing well. But that's it for us, and we will see you, I don't know, sometime in the near future. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.